Good morning and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you once again. We have a very special guest with us, joining us in studio, no other than Derek Kelly. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you so much, Pete. Glad to be on your show here. It's kind of strange. Usually I'm the board operator, but here I am jumping right into the action on your show today. So yeah, I'm ready for this.
That's nice. You know, a few months ago, maybe. Has it been a few months since you went on a vacation?
Yeah, it was back in August. It's been a couple months since I left for Europe, and I was gone for about a week then. So yeah, it's been a couple months.
And that trip has made a tremendous impression upon your mind. When you came back and you shared some things with me, I thought it was very interesting. And we had planned to talk about it for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, it seems like maybe the Lord had other plans, because you've been busy. I've been busy with election stuff and basketball, volleyball around here. So yeah, everything's finally coming to fruition. And I get to talk about my journey to Spain and how it's helped out with some weight loss, which, honestly, I'm not going to lie, is still under progress right now, but it gave me a lot of motivation to get in the gym and to realize that even on my worst day up here, when I'm worn out and I'm exhausted, it's just a matter of taking steps, baby steps, literally, and get my steps in for the day on the pedometer.
So you mentioned that your trip to Europe served to be a great motivation for you to, on your weight loss process. Tell us where you went, by the way.
Okay, I went to Madrid, Spain. And I also went to Toledo, Spain as well. I stayed in Madrid for about 3-4 days. That's where my airplane landed in on my start of my trip, and also where I left from the airport on my final day in Spain. So I stayed there. I went to Toledo, too, and I didn't have a car, so I think not having the means of transportation was a big motivator of myself, being able to walk around so much, and for once on vacation, I didn't splurge as much, and I lost some weight, surprisingly, like on vacation of all times. I mean, that's very odd for us Southerners here.
Yeah.
To lose weight on vacation is usually the time when you've lost the weight, you went to the gym, you've done your running, and you've gotten ready for the beach, and now you're ready to blow up like a whale on the beach.
Right, so, during vacation time.
Yeah, absolutely, but I lost weight on vacation, and that was a big help for myself.
So, what was your, give me a typical day, and then we're going to jump into your exercise program. What was the typical day for you like on your vacation?
Well, it was kind of weird getting used to the time change in Madrid. That was a big difference for myself, because we're 7 hours away, like overseas, okay, over the Atlantic Ocean, you're 7 hours ahead of your Tennessee time.
Okay.
My typical day was, I would get up probably 8 or 9 o'clock their time, which is like 1 or 2 o'clock here in Tennessee, completely drastic time change. And I would go get breakfast. I would go out for a little bit around the afternoon, lunchtime. I go sightseeing, do my tours, and come back in the evening time, get something to eat for supper. So mainly, my means of exercise was walking around, being a tourist, walking cobblestone streets.
Yeah.
Sometimes taking the bus or the train from city to city. But yeah, I had to do a lot of walking, more than I've ever done. So typical day was getting my meals in and doing tourist attractions, tourist stops and the like in Spain. So that was mainly what I did over there.
So, in Spain, did you see a lot of people moving around, exercising, or did that help to pull you in, or just purely the fact that you didn't have a ride, so you had to walk?
I think it was both, but honestly, when I was in Madrid, I went jogging one day. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to this place called Parque del Buen Retiro. I know those are Spanish words, but I never seen so many people jogging and running in my life. Nothing like here. Like, if I go to the park in Brewson, which is basically my home track for doing exercising, and walking and running, I may be the only runner up there, and there may be one or two walkers. And I went to that gigantic park in Madrid, which is like a big quadrangle. There was more runners, walkers, and exercise folk than the entire town of Brewson or Camden.
Like,
it's widespread. People are in really good shape over there in Europe for whatever reason. And it was no different in Madrid. It seemed like exercise was trendy. You see my cup, McDonald's. Going to McDonald's and Burger King is trendy right here in West Tennessee.
Yeah.
But for them, bicycling and using their legs to do stuff and
running
and jogging is really the way that they solve their health dilemma and their problems.
So, when you look at the people, were they large like we are in West Tennessee here or what?
Not near as much, no. The people are typically smaller than you and myself.
I
remember like the men 5'4", 5'5", 5'6", or so. Some may be 6'2", or 6'3", but for the most part, those people there are pretty athletic, lean, you know, like they've been going to the gym since they were 5 or 6. So the people over there, typically the men are, for the most part, not heavy type people, not bulky bodybuilder or football players. They don't look like linebackers for a football team. They look like a wing playing for Real Madrid on the soccer pitch. I mean, completely different. I mean, for the women, it's generally the same thing, too. Now, there are a couple heavyset people that I encountered over there. There's a few, but it's not near as widespread as out here in America. It's a lot different.
So, okay, now you started an exercise program. What was your exercise program like over there on your vacation? On top of that,
it was walking. I walked 20 miles in one day in Madrid, which is
20 crazy. Miles.
Yes. I walked 20 miles that day. It totally ruined my nighttime. Like, I couldn't go out on a Saturday night because I walked 20 miles. But walking and getting my steps in incidentally without even really trying, because I had to walk from place to place to place, because it costs money for a taxi. It costs money and it costs time to wait on a bus. And I'm in a foreign country, so the easiest thing to do was to pop open my smartphone, use my Verizon International stuff, and I would go ahead and use my GPS to get from place to place with my phone. So that was a big help for myself. Even if I used the train station, I would have to go ahead and use my GPS to find the underground entrance to the subway or the place I was going to. The Prado Museum, for example, in Madrid, or I wanted to get some American food. You won't like this example, but hundreds of McDonald's they have there in Spain. One of those. But yeah, I would walk on a regular basis without even trying and work that out. And I tried to get some good running in too. I ran it a couple times. I ran at that gigantic Parc del Buen Retiro in Madrid, Spain. And also ran in the park in Toledo that was covered with dirt and rocks and gravel. It was just, the location was perfect and prime for getting in shape. There was so much to do over there. So I wanted to play tennis and play soccer, but I wasn't able to find clubs that would welcome the general public. You had to pay or be a member. I didn't like that at all because I thought, you know, this is Europe, this is Spain, this is the home of soccer. People eat it up like they do American football here. And people love their tennis stars, Rafael Nadal and other Spaniards and Europeans that have really done big things on the tennis courts as well. But it's hard for me to find a tennis court or soccer field to play. I was disappointed with that, so I did the second best thing. I ran and I walked.
Okay. Now, prior to going on your vacation, did you have an exercise program?
I did. I've had a gym membership since January of this year at Basic Fitness in Camden. Shout out to them. I've done occasional weightlifting and exercising, but, you know, before I went to Spain, I dealt with some recovery issues with my body. I ballooned up in weight, I'll just be honest about that, and I had problems finding time to get a good workout in and balance out work and life with that, and workout life as well. So I had problems going to the gym and being able to do it consistently. Like, I would do it 3 or 4 times a week. And it would be good enough, but not nearly good enough, because what would kill me after doing that was, you know, let's go back to this. I would do the elliptical, or I'd go jog at the park in Bruson or Huntingdon, or maybe Camden, like 2-3 miles, which is good for someone my size.
Right.
But I needed to also balance it out with a good diet and consistency. And I had trouble for my joints and my muscles to play along with my brain and my motivation. So I had issues with that as well. So that's why my weight would balloon and it would yo-yo a lot, just because the holidays would come up, like Thanksgiving this month, or their friends want me to go eat Mexican, and we deal with another issue of social life, turning down your social life to become a healthier person, and that's hard because you look for a balance across the board. So those are the issues that have plagued me a little bit, and I take responsibility for a lot of this, but at the same time, I've got to just find something routine-wise that's going to help me stick with the program and do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So when you went to Europe on your vacation, at the end of your vacation, considering that exercise became a very important part, very necessary part of your vacation, did you lose some pounds over there?
I did, yeah. I weighed myself on my next to last day in a little boutique, a little bodega in Toledo. I weighed myself right next to a pharmacy, and I thought, wow, I've lost a few pounds on this. This is amazing, on vacation of all times.
So wow. Yes,
the vacation was a big motivator for myself coming back to America to retrain the brain and also retrain the body and find extra motivation and means to help me out. So, yeah, the last day there, I gladly put in a euro coin to get my weight down to see what it was like
yeah.
you do at GNC here in America.
Yeah.
So I did that, and everything worked out A-okay with that.
Oh, wow. So you lost enough pounds at the end to give you some motivation mm-hmm. coming back to the American soil.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was something that I could say changed my life for the better and in a very mm-hmm. positive manner, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, being back on the American soil, have you been able to keep up with an exercise routine better than you were before?
I have been able to keep up with an exercise routine, but I'll be honest, it's not near as good because mm-hmm. basically just the atmosphere and the landscape. I'm driving everywhere.
You're driving everywhere.
I work. I run my mouth for a living. I don't run my legs for a living, so I got to take time out to go ahead mm-hmm. and take care of business. So it's been a struggle at times, and then there's been occasional days where I'll work upwards of 12-plus hours like yesterday, and
mm-hmm.
when you do that after doing this all day, public speaking and the like, even though I enjoy this is a good job, I get a lot mm-hmm. out of it, but it's hard to motivate yourself after you've worked 12, maybe
mm-hmm.
13, 14 hours to go straight to the gym after you're exhausted, and even then, mm-hmm. what kind of workout do you get at that point?
Right, right.
So, it's been a matter of basically mind over matter to an extent to try and make things work out in the best way possible for my weight loss endeavors and trying to mm-hmm. stay healthy, because I've definitely been in the gym, jump roping, been doing the elliptical, mm-hmm. been running at the tracks, and mm-hmm. Weightlifting some like I did on Monday. So it's just a matter of getting in the gym and mm-hmm. watching the diet too.
Okay, considering that exercise is one aspect of weight loss, dietary habits, dietary and lifestyle habit is another dimension, which perhaps is easier to do even sitting down wherever you are, because you eat foods, you do certain things. Now, do you see anything that you have implemented in those areas outside of exercise that may be contributing to your weight loss?
Well, I think it's portion control for the most part. I try to keep my meals where I'm just eating an entree and a side and a mm-hmm. vegetable or a fruit like a banana. You've seen me mm-hmm. eating bananas tons of times here at the radio station. That's my number one fruit. So you see me eating those, you know, trying to do that, trying to portion my meals and mm-hmm. maybe have a snack because I get up early, like 5 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning. I'll eat breakfast around 5:30, then I will go ahead and I will have a snack maybe around 9:30, something light, and then I'll have lunch around this time every day, which I did right before the show started, because sometimes you should be chowing on a burger right before the show, which is so ironic. I'm going to throw you off.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the meal mm-hmm. control and the portion control is a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And also weekends. I've got to watch out for Saturdays. Sundays are okay. Sundays are typically my cheat day where I'll eat out mm-hmm. with my family.
Okay.
Restaurant here in town, just go nuts on the buffet. But on Saturdays is really a crucial day for me because it could be a social day where I go out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a day where I'm tempted at nighttime on a Saturday to be like, well, I've done great all week. Let's go get some Chinese food and dig in on this buffet. Mm-hmm. Or let's get some really good Mexican food and, oh, there's Dairy Queen down the road. How often are you in Paris, Derek? Let's go get a blizzard today. So that plays a fact. So maybe peer uh-huh. pressure and social mm-hmm. issues, mm-hmm. perhaps a little bit, plays a role in this. But at the same time, I've got to just remember to be consistent with my meals, mm-hmm. along with my exercising, too.
Okay, there are some things that can easily be added to a weight loss program, such as avoiding eating between meals.
Uh-huh.
That would be helpful. By not eating between meals, you force your body to convert some of that fat into energy. Because the whole point for most people when they eat between meals is because they feel hungry. You see?
Yeah, exactly.
And another important aspect is breakfast. Mm-hmm. What I'm not dealing with the content of your breakfast or the content of your meal, but just the aspect of eating breakfast.
Yeah. Usually my breakfast is like bacon and eggs, like 3 or 4 pieces of bacon, a couple eggs, usually mm-hmm. scrambled eggs, and then I'll have some cereal to go with the bacon and the eggs too. And that'll mm-hmm. be my breakfast, which doesn't really last long. My metabolism is a bit higher for some people, but for mm-hmm. myself, it's high enough that after 3 hours, I'm hungry. That's my breakfast typically. Bacon
okay.
and eggs with cereal, or a sausage and biscuit with cereal and milk. So I have milk and cereal about every morning, and I'll have
mm-hmm.
a sausage and biscuit, and also bacon and eggs, cereal. That's typically it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my breakfast.
You know, one of the important aspects as we look at food and nutrition is the amount of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a whole grain diet and a refined diet is largely the amount of fiber present. Now, in your example there, no doubt the cereal is your regular cereal, generally lower in fiber content. The meat, the eggs, no fiber whatsoever.
Right.
Now, if you were to change from the regular cereal and perhaps put a whole grain cereal in,
uh-huh.
And instead of doing bacon and eggs, do the eggs and something else, you know, maybe a toast or something like that, whole grain. If you just implement more whole grain into that meal, now that breakfast will last you much longer than 3 hours, perhaps about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
So that would eliminate the need for snacking.
And that could be helpful.
Yeah, that would be helpful. I think that would be very helpful. Another aspect that's helpful in weight loss
mm-hmm.
is perhaps that evening meal. That evening meal, you've worked all day, that evening meal just shortly before going to sleep. Now, if you eat something rather lighter
mm-hmm.
than heavier, such as, okay, what's a typical dinner meal?
A dinner meal, okay.
I'm talking about the last meal of your day.
Right, the last meal of the day.
Sometimes I get dinner and supper, you know, mixed
yeah.
up. I use them
typically
interchangeably.
Typically, protein bar,
huh.
cheeseburger,
okay,
grilled chicken,
okay,
maybe pizza,
okay.
It could be a chicken sandwich.
Okay.
There's a lot of meat, a lot of protein
okay.
in my diet, so
mm-hmm.
I make sure to have those things. I guess so. My food groups and my nutrition needs get met, and I get some energy, and I get full for the night. So that's typically
mm-hmm.
it. Protein bar on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll admit, on my worst day, there may be something like pretzels or chips or popcorn or something like that
yeah.
as my side. I'll still try to have a banana.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also attempt to maybe get some mashed potatoes or some corn thrown in there, too, some veggies.
Okay.
So it's a lot like my lunch where
mm-hmm.
I have some nutritious things in there, but maybe it's not the whole package, the whole shebang at times.
Yeah, and so with that, again, it's the opposite of what we normally do as vegetarians. Generally, that evening meal, we try to emphasize it being lighter. So proteins and fats, we particularly keep out of that meal, you know, to a certain extent.
Right.
We do the carbs at that meal. And because the protein and fat is going to take longer to digest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to require much more energy from your body. And you're going to sleep. So in the evening there, our typical meal may be crackers or toast, some spread, fruit spread, or vegetable soup is fine.
Yeah.
Vegetable soup, salad, those are fine. But the major protein food, would leave that for up in the day or in the morning.
So something light.
Something real light.
Yeah.
It will satisfy the need for hunger.
Yeah.
And one of the important thing too, the heavier ones work, the more physical ones lifestyle habits are, the heavier their meal can be, you know, their body can handle, you know, all that meat and stuff like that. As they work, they do a lot of physical activity. But your activity being more for sedentary experience, you know, your diet can easily be lighter and still be beneficial.
Yeah, I could do the trick for myself. Like you said, when it comes to that for yourself, do you ever get hungry in the middle of the night, though? Or does the lighter stuff kind of fill you up where you don't have that problem?
No, I don't get hungry at night. As a matter of fact, my last meal is at 1:30.
Really? Wow. I envy you.
Okay. My first meal is at 7:30 in the morning and at 1:30 in the evening. So I exist on two meals. To a large extent, if you're habitually eating three meals and so on, your body is going to require that three meals.
Yeah.
You won't be able to get off of the three meal without a struggle, because the time that your body is accustomed to getting that meal, that's when you're going to feel that all gone feeling that we interpret as hunger.
Right.
And naturally you're going to satisfy that need. But if you considering you're getting ready to go to bed, if you eat fruits, go to sleep, or vegetable meal 2 hours after, you should allow, when you go to sleep, your stomach should be finished with the work of digestion.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Of course, sometimes, for myself, I'll have a heavy meal if I'm out with my family, and that can maybe push the sleep cycle back, or
yeah,
you can fall asleep and you feel a little heartburn.
Yeah.
You feel really full the next morning. So
right.
I dealt with that issue too from time to time. So yeah, I mean, I understand that the light meal thing can work wonders. Of course, ever since I was probably old enough to know, to see, and to realize what's going on here in America, I've had this three meal thing. I mean,
yeah, the three meal is okay.
Yeah,
it's okay if you're working hard. You mentioned it's a social factor as well. For example, your family have that third meal, you know. You don't want to sit around and, Mommy, I'm not eating. I finished eating my meals already. You can still make healthy and wise choices, and that will also encourage them.
Right. I guess you're right that it could motivate the people around you if
you're
doing healthy things. You're right. I have a friend. I'm trying to meet up with him. He lives around Nashville. I went to high school with him. He's a vegan. He's been in your store. I told him about you and that I worked the board for your program.
Yeah.
Whenever I try to get him to go eat out, he always recommends a vegetarian or a vegan restaurant. So, I mean, part of this is my fault, but I'm not too keen on going there just yet, because usually, you know, when I go out, I'm used to the American food that we're kind of blessed to have here in this country. You know,
yeah.
I'm not used to eating vegetarian or vegan because I don't really have that in my diet a whole lot.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I would basically try and look for a middle ground. What do you like to eat that's going to fulfill what you want and what I want? So,
well, you know, even with most vegetarian restaurants, you'll have macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. You will have burgers. You will have quesadilla, I think I heard. There's a term that way.
Is that quesadilla?
Quesadilla.
Okay.
You will have just about most of the food that you can have in your regular, you will have it, you can have it in a good vegetarian restaurant.
Okay.
And there's one in Huntington, Living Well Vegetarian Restaurant, that's perhaps the only one around here. And frankly, when I want to eat out with my family, that's where I go, because they're completely plant-based, And they cook some real good food. Macaroni and cheese, roti. Most folks don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is. I'll have to Google it. Be like, okay, Google, tell me what roti is.
Roti is like it's like a tortilla, you know, it's like a breaded wrap.
Okay.
Flat bread, and they wrap it. They put typically folks put curry goat or stuff like that in there. Okay. So they'll put curry, soy curls in there with potato or chickpeas, and when you bite into that, man, you will miss McDonald's not for a minute.
It's a very international.
Yeah, it is an international. Yeah,
which is kind of a Middle Eastern type thing you find in hummus.
Yeah,
you got curry, which is an Indian type.
That's right.
You know, over there in India. So yeah, you get that all mixed into one thing. And
it's a great mixture.
Yeah, you might find yourself going to other restaurants as well.
Absolutely,
you found this good stuff that just was coincidentally international, but also at the same time pretty healthy. And
pretty healthy. That's good. That's good. You know, and even if you go to a regular restaurant, it's the choices that we make typically. Because you can get steamed veggies at any one of these restaurants. You can get, or can you get a salad there? Okay, most of them probably have some kind of potatoes. Can you choose, and even if you use some meat, the situation perhaps people use a large amount of meat, you see,
right,
instead of a smaller amount and get the other stuff as well.
Okay, so you're talking about salads in general being served at a restaurant?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on where you go. You know, some places like I went to Sunday, they have a salad bar where you can pick out your own food. Now, granted, you can get bacos and cubed hams and croutons like I typically get, or you can dive in for lettuce and some salad dressing if that suits your fancy.
Yeah.
Mushrooms, even cranberries and jello and all sorts of interesting things that they'll have there. They'll have celery and broccoli. So it just depends, you know. You go to some fast food restaurants that serve salads. I know of a couple here in town. You'll get a salad with fruits in it. You'll get grains and nuts and stuff. You may also get stuff like grilled chicken. I mean, it just depends on your flavor, what you prefer in your food for salad.
Yeah, so wherever we go, there we have options, we have choices. And I think if your end, your object is to be healthier.
Right.
Of course, as we get healthy, then it becomes easier for the body to lose the weight. So wherever we go, we should try to make better choices.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a lifestyle change.
It is a lifestyle change. And I've been doing this since 1985. And, you know, I frankly don't know anything else. I've been doing this since 1985.
I love your backstory. I don't know if your audience knows about this. I hope this is okay for you.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I love your backstory about how you came to America. You landed in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, sir.
A very interesting location, a kind of melting pot of all different ethnic groups.
Yeah.
Some Americans there. You worked at McDonald's of all places.
I did.
Yes.
I did. Man, I used to enjoy it.
I believe it's still, I do myself, so I can understand why you really enjoyed Mickey D's and all that good stuff. And you said you had a great time with your coworkers.
Oh, yeah.
With some of the same challenges I did.
Yeah.
Social issues and peer pressure and sorts of things being mixed in with your health. I mean,
I didn't know anything about health at that point, you know. I mean, I knew once it breathed or it, everything was good for food, just about.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I ate a lot of meat and it tasted good.
I believe it. It still tastes good, even though it's processed.
Yeah.
I mean, you got all sorts of things in there. Of course, you saw the light, so to speak, as we say. You finally decided to go a very healthy route, a healthy road for your life after you left McDonald's. I don't imagine that you started the vegetarian stuff at McDonald's, did you?
No. Okay. It was 1985 when I got first introduced to a healthy way of eating in 1984.
Okay.
And then in 85, I started dropping things off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, one other important aspect, very important aspect of weight loss is the amount of water and fluid one drinks. It is virtually impossible to lose weight if you're not drinking enough water.
As you can tell, throughout this interview, if people have not noticed, I've probably gone to my water bottle at least 5 or 6 times, and I drink a lot of water every single day here. One of the things about my job is that I have to talk for a living. Since I have to chat for a living on the radio, it's hard when you're like that when you're trying to get ready. It's hard to have a gravelly, cracky voice that doesn't sound good. So you do this.
That is very important. Yeah. Very important because it will impact your function of your thyroid. You know, most people won't understand that, but you get insufficient water. It will cause the thyroid to do a better job at controlling the fats and oils in the system.
Right.
But without the water, you know, the thyroid is going to be sluggish.
Yeah, and this is not my call, but I think the best thing I may be doing right now is sipping on bottles and bottles, 20 ounces of water every single day up here. This may be the single greatest thing I'm doing for my health, because it's the most obvious, easiest choice to make when I'm up here. It's good for my job performance, for my health, and for feeling good, for feeling satisfied. So this water here, this gift of life, H2O, is a blessing. It's really been helpful for me, and I always drink a lot of water at the house as well. Same story, just different location.
Absolutely. That is a tremendous blessing. Those who don't drink water will have problem with digestive issues, with energy issues, and the ultimate manifestation of dehydration is a heart attack or a stroke, because decreased water, blood get thicker. Blood get thicker, it puts you closer in that range for heart attack or stroke.
Wow, I didn't realize that. And of course, we've had people up here that have struggled with strokes. You know, the late Charlie Baylor, he had a stroke. Heart attacks have plagued people in my family. My granddaddy died of heart failure. So some of this may be genetic, it may be nature, but also we can nurture some things to try and counteract that.
Absolutely.
The best way to do that is by, like you said, water is probably the number one thing to start your laundry list of healthy items.
Absolutely.
And things to consume.
You know, so exercise is great, though, you know, and that's where we started off, but we went to some of the additional things that help with the weight loss, which also help with health.
Absolutely. So I worked a 12-hour day yesterday for our election return, so the good folks got to hear their politics, whether they're waving a red flag or a blue flag or an American flag. We did that yesterday. But despite that, and getting a decent amount of sleep, not my preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that last night. I still plan on working out today.
Yeah, that's good. You know, there are certain health principles that are very beneficial. We talked about them before. Proper nutrition, exercise, water. Okay, that's spelled new. Nutrition, exercise, water, new. Sunshine or sunlight, temperance, which is your self-control there. That's the guy that goes with you to the buffet table, to the restaurant. You know, that's the guy that keep telling you, hey, I think that's enough. You know, that's that temperance guy there, self-control.
The id, the devil, so to speak, that we learned in psychology about. The id,
Understand that. That's all right. So we got N-E-W, new start, S for sunshine, T for temperance, A for air, R for rest. You just talk about that. We need to get our rest at night. And T for trust in divine power. These 8 principles, if we implement them into our lifestyle as much as we can, they will do a lot to improve our lifestyle.
Good stuff. I think we got about 2 minutes until the news block, so if you got any comments or questions, I'll try and answer them as quickly as possible, whatever you want. You are the man behind the mic for now.
All right. So what would you say in your quest since your trip to Europe that will encourage someone who is struggling with the idea of exercise, losing weight, and so on? What would you say to that person?
I think it takes one big life event to really put you in the right track. My vacation to Spain was a big help and a big motivator, big benefit for myself. Perhaps you may have some high blood pressure issues, maybe you're gaining too much weight, something to that extent. I think just a certain event, something that will give you a realization of what's really going on in life, will jumpstart your success and the road to health and happiness.
Thank you very much. And listeners, if you have any question or comments, you can contact me at Better Living Natural Food, 731-279-0350. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you. Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.